Hey guys, and welcome to episode 15 of Game Train. Wow, we're really climbing the numbers. I'm Carl Smith, and I've got Callan with me today.
Hello. Hey, Carl, can I just say something?
Yes, please do.
You sound pretty knackered this evening.
Oh, no, get out. Get out, we are done. And that was episode 15, the special short and sweet episode, along with our review of Knack 2, which Callan just did. Congratulations. Thank you, goodbye. I hope you're enjoying your commute to work or wherever you listen to this. Sorry, Callan, ruined it for everybody. With that, let's go to the news. Nice.
Thanks.
Very good. Very good. Interestingly, Dead Rising 4 has just been announced that it's now coming to PS4 on December the 5th, which I say interestingly because it was just one more of those Xbox exclusives that they needed, which is now no longer that.
Resident Evil 7 Gold Edition has been announced, and also release dates for the long-awaited DLC has also been announced, coming out on December 12th, which is the Not a Hero DLC, which was promised to be free, and it still is, where you play as Chris Redfield.
Tomb Raider 2 is being remade by a fan using the Unreal Engine 4. It's been going on for a while now. The reason it's in news is now there's a playable demo out. If you, we'll put the link on our Facebook, but if you even just look it up, it's called Tomb Raider Dagger of Xian. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's X-I-A-N. And it looks really impressive. It's got a whole bunch of gameplay videos out there. I haven't actually tried it myself on the computer and had a go of the game. But yeah, the demo's available, which is nice to see. That doesn't usually happen with these fan-made, epic, you know, graphic versions of stuff. So jump on and check that out before someone takes it away.
Nintendo released a bunch of trailers, which they've called the Nindies, which is a bunch of indie games, which is coming to the Switch either later this year or next year. One of the big ones to come out of that was Super Meat Boy Forever, which is Super Meat Boy's first romp onto the Switch. That is coming out in 2018.
The cost of the PlayStation VR has officially dropped as of September the 1st. They will essentially be making a bundle including the PlayStation camera, which previously you bought the VR for like $450 or something, and then you had to buy the Move controllers, then you also had to buy the camera. So now they're putting that in, which is saving customers $50 to $60 depending on the retailer, which I guess is pretty good news. I wish it was kind of cutting the whole headset down maybe $100 at least. I think they need to sell a lot more of these, but you know, it's better than nothing. But yeah, not a big weekend news for from our end anyway, but that's the news. Let's jump straight into games we've been playing this week.
All right, so what knickknacks have you been playing this week?
Oh man. All right. Have you got like a list written down somewhere?
Maybe.
I am so ready. All right.
Oh, man.
There's been quite a lot, but we're going to try and condense it down just to, you know, be able to talk about it all. But I guess one of the main ones is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I got to actually jump on and have a go since you, Callan, did the official review last week for it.
Yes.
So I got myself a copy on, that very day, I'm pretty sure. And I've been playing a lot of it since. And I love it.
Yeah?
I absolutely love it. This game may be the greatest and most amazing example of don't judge a book by its cover ever created.
Yeah, people have got a knack for doing that, don't they?
What? Come on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can feel the listeners just dwindling, each one. Someone else just turned it off. Just sorry, guys. Please. All right. No. Good. No. That's a winner. But anyway, brilliant. It's a beautiful looking game. It plays so much better than it looks even. I've heard nothing but good things even from your review last week, you know. Sounded really cool and everything else I'd read and seen. But actually playing it yourself is a whole different thing.
Yep.
There's so many, like, I also love all the little nods to Mario's world and even other properties throughout. There's like hidden little gags and references. Like we were talking earlier about the washing machine / time machine has like a little flux capacitor on it. And the time setting interface is also extremely familiar.
Yep.
But that aside, there's like, I saw that, you know, the giant POW box buried in the sea from, you know, the very old Mario Brothers games, and just things like giant turtle shells and little sneaky nods, like the bullet bill stuck in jocks, and I don't know, it's really cool, and I love that strange sort of icy, sandy level. That's really kind of clever in like condensing, because, you know, mixing biomes and...
Yep.
I don't know, I just think it's really creative and just very pretty, and they really did capture that Mario magic without being an official Mario game, which I think is so super impressive.
Yep. So, I'll ask you 3 questions quickly.
Yes, hit me.
Okay. Give me something you loved about it, something you didn't love about it, and your final score.
Right. Okay. That's putting me on the spot. Something I loved about it is I actually... for the first time since they were ever created, fell in love with all the rabbits, like, you know, all the ones that are dressed as the Mario characters there. I really like them. I think they're genuinely funny.
Yep.
And they're not too overdone in this game, which I've always thought they were a bit overdone, but I think it's done really tastefully, strangely. Like, they're still crazy and silly, but it's often cute, and it often hits the mark instead of missing it.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's something I really like. Don't like. Wow, that's a tricky one, because there's actually not a lot that I don't like in this, if anything that I can think of. Music is wonderful. It's a perfect fit for the Switch with quick little sessions and, you know, like one-off puzzles. I couldn't tell you what do I not like about it. How's that for a review? That, I mean, ooh, come on,
yeah,
right. This is putting me. I'm desperately trying to. I found a teeny tiny tiny bug that happens when I press the pause menu, which doesn't affect anything at all. Oh. I guess I didn't not like that, but I guess I was indifferent.
Yeah.
Where I couldn't navigate the menu because all the things were blinking, and it happened every now and then, which is weird, but then you just exit and it's fine. That's about the only negative thing I wrote down this week about it.
Mm. And your score?
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. It's... I think I give this a 9.5.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is a brilliant game. I mean, it's not a giant Witcher game, but it doesn't try to be. I think for what it is, it nails it. And this, I have to say, this could be biased because I've never played XCOM. And this happened last time when I friggin' played that The Long Dark, and I had not really played much survival games.
Mm.
And I was so impressed. And, you know, I scored it quite highly, and I thought... perhaps it could have been because of my lack of experience with it and being so overwhelmed with not just the game, but the genre in itself, which maybe I just really like these genres, but this is my first one. So kudos to them. And I just think for what it is and for on the Switch and the characters and how they use, it's just brilliant. I think it's perfect. The difficulty curve is really nice as well. It has you kind of stressing and strategizing, but like enough, you know enough, and when you fail, it's in its really cool way of like, oh yeah, that's annoying, but I get where I can improve. It's not that kind of failing where you're like, what is going on? This is too hard. This is impossible. It's always like, ah, damn it, I should have done this, or next time I'll try that. And I love that in the game, and I think it's really hard to find that balance in these kind of puzzle games where it really pushes you, but you blame yourself and not the game every time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 9.5 for me. It's a really, really good game.
It's been getting great scores across the internet, I've seen. Like in your all your big major sites, everyone's been giving it 9s, etc. So,
I hope so.
No, a lot of people are like rating it quite highly, which is fantastic to see.
The only bad thing about it is it's not Breath of the Wild there. that's what I hate about it. All right. Also, just quickly, I finished Uncharted the Lost Legacy.
Yep.
And I really liked that. It was just quick, short. If anything, the second half is a lot better, I think, than the first half. And it really starts to ramp up and has that real Uncharted DNA put into it and a bit more frantic and fun. So, which is good, because in some games, I'm talking about you, Resident Evil 7, the whole thing is awesome. And then like the final act is just a bit not as good as everything else, you know?
Yep.
But in this one, it just gets, if you enjoy the first hour, you know, finish the game, because it only gets much better.
Yep. Talking about another game now, which released the other day, which is a prequel to another game, the Life is Strange prequel, Before the Storm.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, I can't talk too much about spoilers, or not spoil about the story, because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Yeah.
But you take the role of Chloe Price this time. It's set about 2 years before the events of Life is Strange. And it pretty much tells the story of Chloe Price's relationship with Rachel Amber.
Yeah.
You know, it has that very Life is Strange feel to the game. It has no time travel in this one, though. But yeah, you know, I did the first episode, which is about 3-ish hours long, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be 3 parts, this one. Yeah, it got better as the episode went on. Like, at first I was like, it's okay, you know. But I reckon the back half was better than the front half.
Okay, another one. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. And it ended on a
like a cliffhanger sort of thing, or like...
Yeah, yeah, there is a cliffhanger. Yeah.
Good, good. I mean, I guess they should be if it's episoding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I always thought. I'm like, oh, how's it going to cliffhanger this if we kind of know what happens to these characters that appear in this? Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's actually done quite well. I'm like, oh, well, I want to play the next one right now to know what happens.
Okay, good. That's all that.
Yeah.
That's all they need.
Soundtrack, not as good as Life is Strange, but Life is Strange had 5 parts of soundtrack that I listened to.
Yeah, and that's not always a bad thing, because it was such a good soundtrack, so being not as good is all right.
Yeah, some of the music was okay, but then some of the music I thought was quite good. The band Daughter did a lot of music for it, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Including, just songs and just, you know, background
and
music,
soundtrack stuff,
yeah, score, yeah, stuff. Yeah, nice. So yeah, look, if you played Life is Strange, go play Before the Storm, because it is worth it. If you haven't played Life is Strange before, don't play Before the Storm first. Go play Life is Strange first, and then play Before the Storm.
Yeah,
it's a prequel, but I don't think it should be played before the other one. I think it would ruin too much in the original game if you played this one first.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing, that it would actually ruin things.
I think it would change your perception of some characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Of course, there's things that you should not know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's move along. We've got a lot to cover this week, actually.
Yeah, quick talk on Fortnite.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, Fortnite. We both tried that.
Yes.
The new Survive the Storm update.
Everyone that listened to our talk on Fortnite the other week, the menus are still the same, so it's still very menu intensive.
Yeah, a bit hardcore. We're hoping that they, you know, simplify that before the full release. This is still in early access, so it's not officially out yet, but, you know, it's playable. I thought the Survive the Storm sort of add-on was actually really fun. The gameplay loop was actually really cool. You have to just build stuff during the day, survive at night. I wish the days were a bit longer.
Yep.
The nights were fun. They were very frantic. We were yelling at each other, which is kind of what I think this game is supposed to be, like in a fun way. And it's manageable. But the day is just like, I don't know, I would have liked, I think it's really fun how you make like your base, but you can sort of funnel the bad guys and make them move into certain areas and make tunnels and towers. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot of fun. But if we just got maybe just an extra 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Not even, maybe just an extra 2 minutes.
Some extra materials, etc.
Yeah, or if they like loaded us up with materials just for this mode.
Yep.
You know, just give us friggin' 800 of everything.
But yeah, it's a cool little addition to what they already got in the game. So I'm hoping they keep adding little modes like this.
Yeah, it did say for limited time only. I'm not sure how long it's going for, but I mean, that's interesting. I wonder if that means they've got like a lot of these things planned to come in and out every couple of months.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they cycled game modes, because then it keeps it interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. Kind of like Salmon Run.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Which is, that is just a bit weird, but anyway. Yeah, I think it was fun. If you already have Fortnite, jump in and give that little mode a go.
Yes.
If you want. That's most of the stuff we've been playing. There's just a couple more. The last thing to cover, I guess, before we get into our feature game, is just our quick brief, well, my quick brief first impressions of Destiny 2.
Yeah, you could call it like a preview, really, because we looked at the game, which is now out, but to play it for like one day and then review it, we felt was kind of a bit too hard for that size of game.
Definitely a disservice to this type of, you know, it's based on its community, and to get to know that, you need to be on it for at least a week, I think.
Yeah, so our full review of Destiny 2 is coming next week, so this is just a little preview.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't done a lot. That's a lie. I started playing at midnight the second it came out and have slept 2 hours since, and it is now 9 p.m., of the same day, which is fine. I took a lot of breaks and did some stuff, including play Knack,
mm-hmm.
too. Yeah, I love it. So I don't know. I can't say too much, really, because I haven't reached max level on any of my characters yet, so I haven't really jumped into all that tricky stuff that they add in after you reach level 20, where you can start joining factions and all that kind of stuff. I really don't know all that intricate stuff, but the getting into it feels so much like Destiny 1 for me, which I loved. Like the actual gameplay itself and all the mechanics and the shooting hasn't changed at all, which is great news. This is a very good thing, because Bungie nailed it with Destiny 1, and it's the reason that a good 70% of players have no idea what's going on in that game, and they don't care. Because the actual gameplay is so fun, and leveling up and getting new gear and, you know, different strategies and jumping in with your mates and taking over these different levels and playing them differently and jumping into the raids. It's a lot of fun. It just feels good to play, and that's still the case. The dynamic worlds and weather sort of got ramped up even more, and they're all gorgeous. Everything feels really alive. The weather and the wind and all that, like, it just feels really cool in the worlds that you're in. The menus are even more streamlined. Take note, Fortnite. This is really nice. There's heaps of things have been sort of switched around and just simplified so that it's a much quicker experience when you jump in there, which you want, because you can't pause, really. The whole thing's online, so, you know, a lot of times you find yourself hiding in a cave or around a corner and quickly jumping into your menu and switching things around with armor and guns and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I found that I was actually able to do it quite comfortably in this, which I used to look around everywhere. It was a little bit confusing back in the day, but I guess they've learned so much from all the different DLCs and things that they did with Destiny 1. I'm having a lot of fun, and I haven't actually jumped on with anyone yet, which I'm going to do right after this. And
hello.
For the next week. Yeah, thanks, Callan.
You're welcome.
But, that's my thoughts so far. I'll have a lot more to add. You know, I'm just kind of buzzing still. I don't want to say too much, because it'll just be like, oh my god, Destiny 2 is awesome.
And you don't want to spoil stuff for people that are just kicking off the game now or about to kick off the game either, like story elements, etc. Yeah,
the story, they really have ramped up the actual making the story part of it. Like those people that used to just stand there in the menu and you just chose stuff and collected your goods. You now see them talking. They're now in the field with you, having like real jobs and fighting, like playing the roles that they were claiming to have. Whereas, you know, they'd say like, this person is a great soldier. Just, you know, just because we said so. And you're like, well, I've never seen him fight. He's just standing there selling me shoes. But yeah, so now there's a lot of more life and weight to it, all the characters. So that's really cool too.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, cool. And that's out now on Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Yep.
And we'll have our full review on Destiny 2 next week.
It's also coming out on PC for the first time ever.
But that's
next month.
Next month, yes. All right.
Yes, let's move right along to our feature game, Knack 2.
Who makes a million robot clones of themselves? I mean, who does that?
Is there like a subtitle for this, or is it just called Knack 2?
It's just called Knack 2.
It's just called The Two Brothers.
All right, so Knack 2, developed by SIE Japan Studio and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment, is out now, exclusive to PlayStation 4. It is a, well, third-person platformer adventure game.
Yeah, yeah.
You play as Knack, which is... I don't even know what he is.
A bunch of blocks? Wooden blocks?
Bunch of relic blocks put together, which makes this monster... thing that everyone just accepts is normal.
Yeah, which is the thing.
Yeah.
You just have to get
everyone's
past
like,
that.
Oh, hey, Knack, how you going? I'm like, what is it?
Aren't you guys like, help?
I know, right? And yeah, and, you know, you've got to go off and fight all these goblins, which are trying to destroy all humans, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's the gist of it, really.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I've been enjoying it. Like, it's fun. I'd call it almost the ultimate palate cleanser between big games. Something you can jump into, very easy to play, like it's a very pick-up-and-play sort of game.
Yeah, you get this straight away.
Yep, yep. There's like, you know, the combat's pretty fluid and quick. You know, there's puzzles, you know, environmental puzzles and little jumping puzzles and things like that.
Yeah,
You know, you get skills throughout the game that you power up and unlock, etc. So, you know... combat does feel varied in that way. You know, you start off with basic punches, but then you get like charge punches and like
and you learn extra moves.
Yeah, yeah. You like can get like powered up a sword mode where you get this new sword. You can get like different sort of almost what would you call it? Like not skins for Knack, but like
They kind of work like the items you got in Mario when you got the flower or when you got the leaf.
And yeah,
you can just do different things for like just a little while.
Yeah, like freeze things, or you get like others that hold an electrical charge. You can run electrical charge between things to solve puzzles, etc. Yeah, so it sort of mixes things up along the way with that.
Broadens the puzzles and the way you think of what to do with it.
Yeah, I guess you'd call them like armors, really, because it gives you sort of more defense while you've got those things up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I guess. One thing worth mentioning, the sort of main thing he can do is turn from really big to really, really small.
Yeah.
You know, at whenever you want.
Yes.
So, and that really helps with traversing different things, and he can jump up these little tiny platforms, or he can reach higher spots if he's bigger and lift heavier things and so on.
There's a few quick time events as well. And then throughout the game, you slowly get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as well.
Yeah, yep.
Like, on one area I was up to playing through, like, you know, you're fighting all these goblins and they're about your size. But after you've gone through, like, it was kind of like this castle village area, after a while, you're that big, the goblins are quite tiny, and you're pretty much just one-hitting all these goblins by that stage. And you're like, just come on, bring it on. You know, I'm like this big creature now.
More goblins.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, come on, I'll take on your whole army right now.
Wheel.
Yeah. So, no, yeah, it's good fun. You know, it's bright and colourful. You know, each sort of chapter is a different biome. So you've got like city streets, you've got your sort of green areas, and you've got like your snowy monastery area. You've got like ancient temples, got like a rocky areas. Yeah, you know, all the normal sort of biomes that you sort of get in platformer games, etc.
Yeah, it's very pretty, and also it has excellent particle effects. Like, they're rendering lots and lots of tiny little things going on at the same time, and quite smoothly as well. I didn't see a lot of lag or frame rate drops at all, really. And there is a lot going on.
Yep.
Especially with all your moving parts. So that's kind of impressive. It really is aimed at a younger audience. You can just tell kind of by the cartoony character designs, not just in the, you know, simple story, like really simple. Which is not a bad thing. It's just, you know that going in, that it's not like, you know, a cute, mature take on something. It really is kind of like a kid's game.
Yeah. But
solid. You know, in saying that, just as like Crash Bandicoot was or something, you know, still anyone can enjoy
it. It's a lot easier than Crash Bandicoot.
Yes, it is.
It's not up to that ridiculous, yes, hard sort of stuff. Like, you know, years ago, you look at it when Crash Bandicoot came out and you go, oh, this would be a great game for someone's like first game or whatever. But it was hard, you know?
Yes, it was.
Well, this is actually a great game for someone's first game because, well, there are varying difficulty levels, etc. Yep. But, you know, I was playing through on normal, and for me, the game wasn't overly challenged on normal, but that's all right, you know? Because it doesn't have to be like Bloodborne, Dark Souls-style friggin' brutal games all the time, you know?
It's like a relaxing...
Exactly, like, you know, I was just thing, yeah, chilling out, relaxing, and just not really stressing about it at all.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know? It's a great game for kids because, you know, it's not bloody or gory or anything. It's easy to get into. It's bright and colourful. Sounds all nice, you know?
Yeah, smashing stuff is super satisfying.
Exactly.
Like, it just feels great to, yep, smash through boxes, and it really shows off that particle little pieces engine as well.
Yep. And for someone that hasn't really played video games first, it's a great first game, even for like an adult getting into gaming for the first time. Like,
yeah, yeah. If you want to jump in with your kids, or, you know, like, if you've got younger kids and they like playing games and you don't really do it as much, yeah, this is a good one to even play with them.
Because of the co-op.
Yes, of course. That's worth mentioning.
Exactly. So another big feature in Knack 2 is there is two-player co-op.
Yes, and you play as two different versions of the Knack character, a blue one and a red one.
Mm-hmm.
And they both do similar things. The cool thing about co-op is you're not just both running around doing, you know, things on your own. You can actually do sort of like co-op moves, which are co-op only. So, for example, one of the moves is your character can hold up a big old shield. He makes a shield out of all these little pieces to block people. And another move you can do is like punch really fast, kind of like Chun-Li's kick in Street Fighter, but, you know, with your fists. And if you combine the two and one of you holds up a shield and the other one stands behind you and does the fast punching, he punches all the little pieces out of you, and so they kind of shoot out of you like a machine gun. So little things like that, and you help each other do harder slams. You can do like a body slam, you know, if you jump up and press attack and you smash onto the floor. If you do it together, you can help each other make a bigger, heavier slam and things like that, which is really fun and adds just an extra element to the co-op,
yep,
side of things.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, the game's built on everything from the original, which came out back in 2013 when the PlayStation 4 launched. The original was a launch title to PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and more of like a tech demo. It didn't have as much of the like platforming, or it wasn't as gamey as this one is.
Yeah, so it's good that they've seen they've built on everything from that, and from what people are saying, you know, it's a lot better quality product than the original, which launched back then.
Yeah, I never played it. Did you play Knack 1?
No,
I never did. I guess I never cared. The first one seemed to be really, really targeted at either kids or just kind of showing off the tech of the PlayStation 4. And it wasn't really even marketed as a big adventure or game or a lot of fun. And I think it was a better game than people thought it was. But I think a lot of people just skipped it, like myself. And because of that, like, I just thought, oh, Knack, and I don't have the time, or I won't look at that. But I'm really glad we jumped into this one because it was a lot more fun than I expected.
Exactly. I'm glad to have played it, and I'm looking forward to finishing it because I'm quite a bit into it now. And I would easily recommend it for anyone that's got kids and would like to play a game with their kids, or a partner that they want to play the game with, you know, play a game with, because you go through the whole, like, normal single-player story with the two of you, which is nice, because it seems a lot of games that come out these days, the co-op is its separate little missions or whatever.
Just that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the downside is that it's only couch co-op. I wanted to play with you online in this game, and they don't have
yes.
it.
Yes. We and were that's both my looking forward big, to doing that.
That's my big knock on Knack.
Yes, your knack.
Which is a real shame, really, because it would have been such a great one to be on the microphones there and, you know, coordinating all our things together and that. I don't know, it just would have been fun.
Yeah, I really think it would have been. And it was one of the things I was looking forward to the most, to be honest about this.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done a co-op game since Wildlands.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been a couple of months now. Oh, and Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Fortnite, but I mean, you know, officially.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
Yeah, that's my biggest knock on it.
It sucks because it's like, I don't get why you can't. It's
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a game developer, so I don't understand the ins and outs. Maybe it's way harder than I think, but I don't know. It just seemed like something...
It feels like... It's something that should have been in there. It's like a lot of games at the moment seem to be doing one or the other. They go, yeah, it's got co-op on the couch only. Or it's got co-op only online. Give us both.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean...
Like the Zelda's this great style of jump in, jump out co-op, which is really cool. So you can be playing by yourself, then your friend comes over, then you jump into two-player co-op straight away. And then your friend goes home, then you just continue by yourself, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Why can't I do that online with you? Like, that would have been great.
Yeah. And that's... Yeah, that kind of thing fits in so well with, you know, our lifestyles where...
We are in two different cities doing this podcast.
And we're just in and out and people are doing different things and...
Yeah.
Just jump in for a couple of hours and jump straight back out. It's really cool. It's, you know, it's not like big planning, like games like Destiny where you're like, all right, I got to jump on with friends. Everyone, let's all jump on at the same time and let's play together for... set amount of time, yep. Like 2 or 3 hours, and then let's go home.
So what do you give it then? What's your score on Knack 2?
Well, you know, Knack 2 kind of came around and surprised me a little bit, to be honest. So I think I give this game, like, it seems pretty flawless. There was something I do wish that I could run a little faster, and there was something, once you actually play it, the jumping, I don't know, something doesn't feel quite as fluid as I wished it was. I'm not quite sure how to explain it, mm-hmm. because it's just super smooth and it looks flawless. But that aside, it's a really enjoyable game, nice and simple. I reckon I give this one a 7.5.
All right, for me, I give it an 8. My biggest letdown was the no online co-op, which I think hurts it massively. But it was a fun game, and as we said, it's a great game for first timers and children. It's great for that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And that was Return of the Knack.
Nice.
Ah. All right. Knack 2.
So that brings us to our next segment, which is Backtrack.
All right. Backtrack, where we take you back down what happened in this week in history. Far out, I messed that up.
Man, that was so smooth. That was like on its way.
I know. And then I'm like, on this week in the history of gaming? What? Yeah, thank you. All right, cool.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
So I hope everyone got that. But to clarify, this is the segment where we look back at this week in the history of games. And we just pick something and see what happened. So
cool.
I found an interesting one,
mm-hmm.
which is, okay, let me do the maths on this. Mm-hmm. 20 years from tomorrow, Final Fantasy VII was released on the PlayStation in the West.
Wow. And you know what? People that have spoken to me know I love Final Fantasy VII, and they know how hype I am for the remake. And I kept saying, leading up to this year, when it was 20th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII, they've got to drop the remake this year, just marketing, you know?
Oh, it just would have been... And I mean, that's tomorrow. I don't know.
Oh, man, imagine it was coming out tomorrow, and it's...
it would have been just perfect.
Yep, But no, it's coming out. We don't know when. So, hooray.
No.
Oh, man. We don't. 20 years since Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, right? And, like, what a moment that was, so...
Not for you, though, yeah. Obviously.
No, well, I mean, it put it on the map, so it that game kind of put Final Fantasy... I don't know, that one was the one that just blew it up, especially in the West, and made everyone pay attention, and even made people go back and play games like 6.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so many think is the best one, but I don't think many would have done it if it weren't for 7.
I was reading a quick article on Kotaku today. Actually, this is about Final Fantasy. People were sending, had been like sending in like the developers of Final Fantasy games like questions about like fan theories. And there was a couple about Final Fantasy VIII. But what I noticed from the answers, they said, oh, if we were to remake the game, maybe we would look at doing this. Or if we were to remake the game, we'd look at doing that. I'm like, hang on. I think they're thinking about remaking 8.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, now we're talking business right here.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry for sort of sidetracking from Backtrack, but I thought I'd just sort of put that one out there because I know you're a huge fan of Final Fantasy 8. And when I saw that, I went, ooh, Kyle would be interested in that. So that's the first time I've ever seen him say around the words of remake and Final Fantasy 8 because it's always been about the remake of 7.
Yeah, no one talks about 8.
No.
It's either 7 or even sometimes 9 8, and then randomly 12.
I think 8 would be brilliant straight into Final Fantasy 15's engine. Like, it...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the sort of... just the look and the actual themes and the vibe just fit.
Yeah.
Graphics, obviously, are so different, but
what
they were going for is so similar. That cool, realistic human models.
Yeah.
Modern cars, like, oh, it's so similar.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But, yeah, so, 20 years since Final Fantasy VII, hey?
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Mm.
Anyway, that was Backtrack / Sidetrack for this episode, which takes us straight to passenger questions.
All right. So, is Reef writing to us again this week?
No Reef.
What?
Yeah, no, we have...
Jeez, we'll take the locksmith sign down then.
No, we got a special question from someone who's signed himself off as Loki.
Okay.
Hello, Loki.
Hello, Loki.
Loki wants to know, I want my wife to start playing video games. What would you recommend starting her on?
Knack 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Okay. So, next question by Paul, and he says... Will you do a live on-site podcast one day from, say, Netherworld in the future?
So Netherworld's that video game bar in Brisbane, yeah?
Yeah, and it's awesome. Hell yeah is the answer to that. I mean, if
we would,
could, sure.
If
you guys want to hear us talking with like 100 people talking around us.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Unless it's like a sit-down audience. Imagine.
Oh no. I'm not ready for that.
Imagine that, we're sitting up there. Any questions from the audience? No one raises their hands.
Can you guys stop now so we can just listen to some music? Good question. Yes, from the guy in the front.
But,
get out.
But yeah, no, we'd love to do something like that. Huddled in a corner together with a microphone and do it.
Rogue style. I mean, I guess we could try, but it would just be a massive failure.
Oh, man.
Having said, I mean, it's not just about who we know. We have to make sort of a reason and a kind of event. And we, you know, obviously, if you guys have never been, and anyone who's around Brisbane and who's a gamer and who likes beer, so I'm assuming pretty much everyone listening to this podcast, if you haven't been there, please go check it out. That place is just, it's awesome. They have even, you know, like, great food there as well, and really cool beers and themed things and stuff going on. But they also have like a lot of most of the stuff is kind of retro. Like, they've got old school Mortal Kombat 2 and Ninja Turtle arcades, and they've got PS1s hooked up to old TVs with Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and they've got Super Mario Kart on Super Nintendo, and it's just really fun. And they've got pinball machines and it's really cool.
I've got. So, speaking of like video game bars, I was on news, so we keep throwing news into the middle of this podcast at the moment, which is
It's just all about informative podcasts.
Exactly.
Right now.
The GG Easy Bar is opening in Melbourne on September 7th, so it's already open when you've been listening to this podcast now. So it's an esports bar, really.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, so if you're in Melbourne, go check it out.
Bam.
Yeah. All right. And that was questions.
That was. As for our Games with Gold Plus segment, we haven't had a lot of time to jump in and test these out, but just a quick mention of the PlayStation Plus games for September, which are all out now, including a very much needed VR title in the bunch. Here they are. For PS4, Riggs Mechanized Combat League. That's the VR one, PSVR, which I think they're crazy not to release at least one PSVR game every month, because they need more reasons for people to buy this thing. And I think if you can just buy the VR and then have a free game every month, that would really help sort of spread the product and, you know, connect a lot more people. But anyway, there's also Infamous Second Son, which is an excellent looking game to get for free. I've never actually played it, and I've always wanted to, so this is going to be a great reason. And Strike Vector X. Now for PS3, they have Truck Racer and Handball 2016. Now, Callan will be doing a full review on Handball 2016 next week.
Is this going to go off the back feature of cricket? Mind you, everyone, a quick update on cricket. I made my first century for Australia on Don Bradman's cricket 2017. Dude. For those that are keeping tabs on that, so it Dude, happened.
Please take your cricket.
I told you I'd get it into the podcast somewhere.
On Vita. Sorry to stop for cricket. Everyone ever. On Vita, they have We Are Doomed and Hateful Boyfriend.
All right.
Yeah, cricket. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our show, which means Hype Train and Lame Train
time. All right. Let's get into that Lame Train.
All right. So, quick Lame Train, which is kind of related to my last week's one. My Kinect died.
Oh,
it just died. And like, you know, everyone's saying, who cares? Well, screw you guys. I love my Kinect, because I even just felt it today. I did this unreal thing in Destiny, and I thought it was a great move. I killed a boss with the very last throw of my knife, and I nearly died. And I yelled. I was like, awesome. Xbox, record that. Ah, damn it. And I barely even know how to do it with buttons anymore, because I've just yelled that out for the last 3 years.
Fair enough. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
So what's your lame train?
Okay, so a little thing happened this morning. Turns out that Knack 2 was free on the PlayStation Store for about 2 hours this morning. Carl got in and got himself a copy for free. I had purchased mine a day or two ago, so he got it for free for just being up at 5:30 in the morning.
No, I got to stop you right there. I got it for free because of Lucas.
Ah, from Drop Bear Podcast.
From Drop Bear Gaming Podcast. Yep. Those guys are champions. You guys might have heard us talk about them before. They're a lot of fun if you guys ever want to jump on and listen to some real true blue Australian opinions on some games. Those guys are really fun. But Lucas, the legend, he wrote that he knew I would be awake playing Destiny at 5:30 a.m., which he was 100% correct. And Callan had just gone to bed after just smashing out hours of Knack 2, because he'd paid for it, pre-ordered it. And as soon as it hit midnight, I was like, bam, Destiny. And Callan's like, bam, Knack 2. I got to do what I got to do, because I got to work tomorrow. I'm like, oh, I'll go buy it in the morning. And yeah.
Yeah, and Lucas then, so you got yourself a freebie. Because I pre-ordered it, I paid for it. That's my lame train, is that even that's I got in early and I had to pay for it. Meanwhile, you just sat there floating around and then you got yourself a freebie. So well done you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, hype train.
Boom. Okay, my hype train is Destiny 2 is
out. Cool.
Well, actually, I'm hype about playing it with my friends, because I've played it since the second it came out, and yet I haven't actually played with anyone yet, because they're all jumping on now because no one had it at midnight. Thanks, guys.
I had it podcast at midnight, but I was playing that too.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, that's my hype train.
Mine is, Assassin's Creed Origins. Now, it's probably a little early to get actually hyped up for this game because it comes out at the end of next month, end of October.
Yeah.
October 27. I mean, get hype.
Yeah.
But I found myself the last few days looking around online, maybe watching some more videos than I should be of the game.
Oh, no.
Looking at the map, comparing it to the site, reading comparison sizes to, like, you know, Black Flag and Syndicate's maps, et cetera, et cetera.
So they have hooked you.
Oh, man. I watched a developer's interview about him talking about them building the world and how they were talking about building a country rather than a city this time.
Wow.
And when they start using words like, you're like, oh, man, I need this game now. So my hype for Assassin's Creed Origins has just gone straight through the roof.
Yep. Oh, that's very fair. That game does look amazing.
Yep.
So
I'm getting a little too excited, a little too early for this game. So I've got to calm my hypeness down till late October.
That's all right. I was hype training Red Dead Redemption 2 for like 3 weeks.
Man, I bet you'd hype train Red Dead Redemption if they release a trailer tomorrow.
Yep.
Like you'd be like next week you'd be like, oh man, hype train's back on for freaking Red Dead.
I would be. I just slowed down my hype train because of, you know, moving the date to next year. So I'm like, all right, calm.
Yeah. But coming to the end of the episode now.
That's the end. So next week, we'll be doing Destiny 2.
Yes.
Our proper review. And this is going to be quite an extensive review because we've never actually played a game for a week straight and then reviewed it, you know, so...
Kind of did with Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda, and we spoke like 1 hour on both of them.
Yeah, but we spoke about them for like 3 different episodes as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, to be fair. So that's it. And I think, is there... Thank you, of course, everyone who's been listening and...
Again, and please keep reviewing the show. Keep subscribing on iTunes and Podbean. Jump on our Facebook page.
Send us questions.
As well. Carl, you know this one again.
Yes, www.facebook.com/gametrainpodcast.
Yep.
And, you know, it was great to see some questions from some new people.
Exactly. Please keep them coming in. Like, you know, it's great being able to just read out some questions here and there.
Yeah, thank you. And in having said that, Reef, what happened?
Yeah, man.
We missed you, man.
Where's your questions, bro?
Reef, for some listeners who have heard that our good friend and listener, Reef Atkin, that sends in a lot of questions... I don't know if you guys have jumped on our Instagram or our Facebook, but he actually made a Game Train shirt, which is just legendary. So
yeah.
If you guys jump on there, have a look at that.
And yeah, world first Game Train shirt. So
even before us. I'm a bit dirty at that.
Yeah.
But I'm also extremely impressed. So thank you to everyone. Yes. But Callan, is there anything?
Yeah. I just thought I'd close off the episode this week with the closing fact this week.
Oh,
yeah.
This week's closing fact.
All right, this week's closing fact.
As always, right?
As always, from episode 15 onwards. All right, so the closing fact is the bushes and clouds in the original Super Mario Bros. Are the same thing, the same same sprites, they're just different colors. So if you look at the shape of them, they're all the same shape. All right, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. This has been Game Train.